are listening to the Battle Born Libertarian Podcast, the official podcast of the Libertarian Party of Nevada. Here's your host, Tyus France.
Thank you for tuning into the Battle Born Libertarian Podcast. I'm your host, Tyus France. Sitting next to me, as always, is my co-host, Alex. Thank you for being here.
Love being here. Thank you, Tyus.
So on our last episode, we got a few people posting, two people posted on YouTube. Now, you can definitely leave comments and such on iTunes, where our audio feed comes from. So if you're subscribing to the podcast via audio and you're going to iTunes, leave a positive review. Those actually really, really matter. And we post on the podcasts onto YouTube really for really so that Google indexes it, because Google owns YouTube. But we also know that some people really like watching video. And if you want to watch my face, knock yourself out. Two people commented on the last one. One was a friend of mine, so hi, Ofer. Shout out to you. And the other left a really thoughtful question. So we figured we'd start the podcast with that question. So if you didn't listen to last week's podcast, go back, check it out. It's all about the principles of being a libertarian. And somebody asked a smart question. This is from Dwayne Morton. And his question is, is the right to access our public highways different than the right to access care through a single-payer healthcare system? Now, in this room, you've got a minarchist and you've got an anarchist, and our answers are slightly different based off of that. I'm gonna go first, if that's okay, because my answer,
absolutely,
mine's easier. So, from an anarchist perspective, there is no need for any government services at all. And so the right to access a public highway, no, there's not a difference between the right to access a public highway and the right to single-payer healthcare systems, because both of those are not in the anarchists' playbook.
Don't say cookbook.
I actually thought about it for a second. I was like, if I say anarchist book, there's something about that. But basically, anything that is run by the government for an anarchist is excessive and often run incorrectly. But that's a little different for minarchists. Putting it over to you, Alex.
All right. Well, my answer is a bit more contrived than no. I would suggest that if we had a single-payer healthcare system, which we don't, although it seems like we're going there nowadays, but if we had such a system, then yes, there should be an equal access under the 14th Amendment, the equality provisions therein guarantee equality of access to government goods and services. And so, yes, the public highways and the single-payer healthcare system, should they both be provided by the government, should be equally accessible to all individuals. Now, that said, we actually have similar goals here in terms of minarchy and anarchy, and this is another reason why we have a libertarian party, is we're going towards the same goals. So we would vehemently oppose the implementation of a single-payer healthcare system, because we know that it leads to a lower quality of care, it leads to increased prices, it leads to less people wanting to become doctors and nurses, because they're essentially forced by the government to do the work regardless of compensation. And so, you worked 18 hours as a nurse, too bad. Get in there. There's patients, and they have a right to your, services, and that's, in my mind, despicable. And public highways, on the other hand, although they are the work product of somebody that's compelled to make them, they are also not something that, once you make them, in other words, they, generally speaking, they're an investment, if you will, and so they're not something that's a regularly, if you need highways right now, well, just go drive on them. You know what I mean? You're not really compelling people to build roads. What you are doing,
just
though,
maintenance.
And that's the thing, is what you are doing is you're paying 10 times what that road's cost is to maintain. And that's another reason why eventually, and it's low on the list, I can tell you, but eventually we would like to see the roads return to private hands because they're cheaper. And as an example that maybe all of us can grab onto, take a look at an HOA that does their own roads. You'll find that they're better, they're cleaner, and they are well-maintained, and they didn't cost $2 million a mile. And yet, Tropicana, And I understand Tropicana is much bigger, but you know, even if you're just talking about a small section, the price per mile, if you will, is 10 times. I mean, it's just absurd, especially here in Clark County, where they give all the contracts to one company, essentially. 85% of the contracts go to Clark County or Las Vegas Paving Corp. Yeah. And so in my mind, there is a distinction, but it is a minor one, and that we should actively oppose any implementation of single payer. And we should get to a point in society where we realize that private groups of people can create and maintain roads far better than even a city government, because it's just too large to maintain.
So let me throw that back just to make sure I understand the position.
Sure.
So it's basically that overall there's not a difference besides the fact that one is currently in effect right now and the other is not in effect. So given the option of like expanding the government or not, one's already there. So we're talking about stopping the progress that, when I say progress, the movement that is potentially negative, as opposed to constricting it.
Yeah. In other words, I will actively, and we will actively as a party, fight the implementation of single payer for the reasons we've listed in other episodes and even some here. But in terms of highways, there are a lot bigger ticket items that we should be going after first.
Yep. It's amazing how quickly things go to roads. It is. If you're new to libertarianism or the general concept of going after freedom or liberty or reading some of those books that are out there, it's shocking how often it goes to roads. And today's episode, we're going to dive into some popular topics that have varying degrees of controversy around them, and until we basically find one where we can fight about it for a little while, which may or may not take a little bit of time. So I pulled up a website, procon.org. Feel free to go there. If you disagree with our views, you'll find the opposing argument on this same website, so you can get a little bit of an echo chamber if you like there. But if you agree with it, you can check out other incendiary topics on this site. Again, Dwayne, I want to thank you for asking that question. Very, very cool. You can also ask us questions. You can email us directly, podcast@lpnevada.org. Still goes to us. So you can write us directly, although I don't mind questions at all on videos. And please put in some positive reviews for us. We really appreciate those. Okay, so I bet the most popular ones here we're going to be in some strong agreement on. So let's go down these pretty quick until we hit something that's way off.
All right.
All right?
All right. Speed round.
Speed round, yes. Medical marijuana.
Totally, just absolutely.
Legalize
all the,
it.
All the marijuanas.
All the marijuanas. Open it up. Everybody gets that. Everybody's good there. Gun control.
Hate it.
You hate gun control. Yeah, so people should be able to have weapons. Second Amendment, we're in alignment there. Animal testing. Do animals get rights?
Well, that's an interesting one.
Yeah, it took three. It took three questions to stop us in our tracks and go, I don't know. So last night I was having a conversation with some friends, and boy, is this going to go into a terrible place quickly. So there's apparently a law around bestiality, which is having sex with an animal.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it went there quick, right?
Wow.
Our
10 viewers just signed off.
Yeah, and we're out. Thank you for listening and considering our party. I understand why you're not involved anymore. So,
all right. These are on the books. So, I mean, we should be free to talk about anything that's got a chapter in the NRS.
So his question to this group of people, including some attorneys in the group, was you're not allowed to have sex with a dog, which seems really reasonable, I think.
Yes.
and he said, well, what if a dog comes up to you and starts humping you and you don't stop him? Has the dog expressed consent?
Oh, gosh.
To sex because the dog initiated it. Now, I'm not going to go down that road, but when it comes to animal testing, really what we're talking about is the rights of animals, right? We're talking about...
Well, can they consent?
Not necessarily can they consent, because I don't think they're going to consent to testing.
Well, again, if you consider them protected life, then that's what we're talking about. That's our basis for everything, right?
That's the basis of it.
I mean, yeah. The only thing that stops me from doing anything with you is really consent
mm-hmm.
at the end of the day. Because it's really not the government. The police aren't going to show up and stop me from doing something to Tyus right here, right? You know, if I poke him, you know, I presumably might have his consent to do that. But the police aren't bursting in and stopping me in the act of that and verifying that. There's an implicit one, right? And so I would argue that with protected life, and that's in my mind the real crux of that, is animal life considered protected life? And I believe that the attorneys that I've talked to about it say no, because actually what they've defined life to be legally is personhood, and animals aren't persons. So you can make laws about them, that's fine, but they're not protected the way persons are. Now, they can be protected by additional laws, but like, for example, you can't kill dogs and cats, you know, just willy-nilly on the street.
So,
but you can put them to sleep at a shelter.
Yeah.
So
I hate shades of gray. I like very literal things, yeah. One side or the other. So I look at this question of, you know, can you harm animals and say that's reasonable? And the answer is definitely yes. It just depends on what kind of animal we're talking about, right? So if you get down to bacteria, like nobody's going to have a problem. Like we use antibacterial soap. Nobody's blinking, right? And also nobody seems to disagree with the idea that there is life within a bacteria is a form of life. Then all you're doing is ramping it up and going, okay, how about fish? Okay, how about, you know, dogs? They seem to have personalities, right? So you seem to ramp that up, which means that we're playing on a spectrum here. And that makes me very uncomfortable because I don't like drawing a line that's arbitrary.
And I would think that most animal rights activists and vegans who are vegans because of this sort of thing, I would imagine that that's their beef with it also, is that there's... Where do you draw the line is even one of their popular
Yeah, but ads. For me, it's very easy to say that they're wrong simply in the sense of a plant is a life form, right? So they're willing to kill a plant, so they're still on that spectrum somewhere.
I mean, I know it's a circuitous way, but I mean, biology, right? There is a food chain. We have to eat something. Maybe someday science will make it possible for us to eat the byproducts of animals, including bacteria even, and we will no longer have to kill for our food. We can merely, like for example, you don't have to kill a tree to eat its fruit.
Sure.
And this sort of thing. So.
And maybe in testing you don't have to kill them. Who knows? But it's a possibility.
Well, they do, though. When you do animal testing, you're required to kill them.
In all situations?
Yes.
That's a law?
That I believe that goes to the IRA board, the Independent Review Board's authorities. Hmm. And that's because what if you mutated one, and this has happened.
They
and
take over why. The world. I saw that's Rise happened. Of Planet of the Apes, okay?
Well, there was a mutation in a bee that they did. They were doing an experiment on bees, and they did I believe they cross-mated two bees. And so Africanized bees were the result.
Oh. So, okay, here's my stance on this. My answer is yes, I approve animal testing as far as I think it's a reasonable thing to do. However, my caveat is I expect the free market to police it. And by that I mean if a company is being particularly cruel or doing something that's unnecessary, I hope that an animal rights activist steps in and says, you know what? These guys are going way above and beyond. They're doing all of these terrible things to animals and the benefit is not reasonable, and I hope they get shut down based off of that. So this is something that I don't want a law to be based around, but I do want the free market to manage.
You want Twitter outrage to manage it, right?
If they've gone too far. Now, I also want a cure to AIDS, right? I want a cure to cancer. And so if animal testing is going to get us there, I'm okay with that.
Yeah, and that really is another gray area of the values, the relative values of life and the moral values of life, et cetera, et cetera. I almost don't know if this is almost more in my mind of a philosophical question. And I know we do a lot of philosophy on the podcast, but in my mind, animal testing, the answer will not vary with your political ideology. It's going to vary with your personal set of morals, which obviously everyone has a set and, you know, or a lack of one. the null set, if you're a philosophy major out there and you're listening, and maybe we do have like 2 out of 10 listeners are philosophy majors. So
I'm sure we got a few.
But no, I think that it's going to vary widely. So it's almost like how can you answer that as a society when it's a moral judgment, not even an ethical one, because you know it's about how you personally feel about treatment of animals. It's not about other people. It's about your personal relationship with some set of creatures. And there are people out there that think that fish you can eat, but cows are sacred. And there are some people out there who think that all of it should be protected. And some of us think, wow, it's all delicious. So, mm-hmm. And I know we went straight to eating animals, but that's the ultimate, right? Animal testing, if you can do it without harming people, I think a lot of people go, well, you know, that's probably fine. But when it comes to, you might have, like lab rats, you have to kill, required to kill them, you know, lab beetles, you know, things like that. And yeah, I think most people would have no problem with killing those.
All right, let's move on to the next one, because I bet we'll disagree on this one too.
Uh-oh.
I'm guessing. I really don't know. I think I might actually have an unpopular opinion among the Libertarian Party with this one.
Which one?
Death penalty.
Oh, okay. Yeah, there's a spectrum of views there too.
Yeah. What are your thoughts?
My thoughts are that and again, this is my personal opinion.
Yeah, but we should mention across the board here that a lot of our views here, I don't believe the LP has an official view on animal testing. So a lot of the things we're going to be saying on this particular show is really our personal opinion. We're not representing the party directly here. We're giving our views.
Yeah, I think that the official party platform on death penalty, the party line is abolish it, period, end of story. My personal view is that if a felony offense has occurred, and again, my definition of that is you have to have a victim. It has to be a violent crime, in fact. It can't just be tort. It has to be you killed, you raped, you know, this sort of thing. You mutilated. And they have confessed, they have pleaded guilty. Then it is acceptable as a society. But if they have pleaded anything but guilty, nolo contendere or innocent, regardless of how they're convicted, the death penalty should be taken off the table, because we have, in fact, condemned innocent men to death. And later on, DNA evidence has shown that there was a prejudicial bias on the jury that caused them to convict. And it happens a lot with the minority community. You know, you get an average group of people up there, and it's someone who killed a black guy, and he says, I felt threatened, then the jury is more likely to not convict him and enact the death penalty. But the reverse is not true. If a white man has been killed by a black man, it is generally true that juries will seek the death penalty in states where that's a possibility. And again, this is averages. It's not every case. It's not always a race
thing. So are you personally pro or against?
I am vehemently against it unless they have pled guilty.
Okay. I'm against it too. I didn't even think. I was like, I bet. I'm just thinking, you know, we're a bunch of gun-toting maniacs. So I was figuring, probably there's going to be a lot of people in the party that are pro-death penalty. But
great majority of the party, I would say probably greater than 90%, is completely anti the state executions. And that's what we should call them.
Once you said it, I was like, you know what? Because what we're talking about is removal of freedom on somebody and non-reversible. Yes. So obviously we've killed people that we shouldn't have killed. And that's what kind of price point can you put on that? How do you say oops mm-hmm. on something that horrendous?
There are people who would still be alive today, and under DNA evidence, they would have been released from prison, and they would have still been alive today, likely, if they had not been executed by the state of Texas or the state mm-hmm. of Arizona or whoever.
Yeah. Okay, next one. So we're in agreement. Next one, school uniforms. Who cares?
Yeah. wear what you want, I guess, is what I would say to that.
Okay, so here's where I'll go with that. If it's a private school, which are really the only kind of schools I would like to see in my utopian world, then that school gets to make their own decision. And if you guys hate the fact that you're wearing a school uniform, go to a different school. If it is a public school, then the school should have no right whatsoever to tell you what to do with your body or with your possessions. So in that point, if public school, they absolutely no school uniforms. That's not reasonable.
Including in my a very unpopular view that if that includes nudity, then that's acceptable because that's Woo-hoo! Free speech. That's free speech. You can't draw a line on free speech. And as soon as you do, then you open it up to the gray area and interpretation of a court that I just that does not sit well with me.
I'm pro nudity. Let's do this. Okay, so
libertarian nudist caucus. I think someone I think Mike Shipley, if you ever listen to this podcast, I think that you actually joked about that at one point.
I feel like it's already been started. Okay, so next one up is the drinking age. So this is a really hard question.
Is it?
For me, it is.
Oh, okay.
For me, it is. So for me, the very, very hardest ones, as I mentioned, I'm bad on spectrums, is things like age of consent, drinking age, voting age, anything where it's going to be somewhere on this weird line, and I don't know where to put it. So I'll let you field it, and then I'll give you what my official real washy answer is on this one because it sucks. Okay.
My answer is pretty clear cut. I think that it should be up to parents. It's not a harm to children any more than it is to adults in terms of dosage. It's a body weight thing. If you're 300 pounds at 16 or 300 pounds at 25, the lethal dose is still the same. And so in my mind, it should be up to the judgments of parents. It's not irreversible. It's not lifetime damaging. Certainly not any more damaging long term than a reasonable use of coffee. You know, there have been kids that have died from drinking too many Monsters, and we're not out there putting 18 plus signs on those or 21 plus signs on those. So in my mind, this is something where we can absolutely restore the rights of parents. There are countries all over the world, like Germany, where starting at 14, parents can purchase and allow their children to drink liquor. And then at 16, you can start purchasing soft beverages. And then at 18, you can start purchasing hard liquor. I think that would be a reasonable next step to lowering the drinking age is the 14, 16, 18. And because by 18, you should have everything, by the way. That's in my worldview, you should get it all by 18. If you can vote and die for this country, you get all the rights appertaining to a citizenship in the United States. So, you know, it'd have to be lower than that than for there to be any kind of spectrum.
So my thoughts on this is that somebody should be allowed to do whatever they want with their life, and then it comes down to at what point are they responsible for that. And I think somebody becomes responsible for their actions when they're capable of handling the repercussions of that action. So if a child were to get drunk and could not deal with what they might do if they were inebriated, then it's up to the parents to say, hey, you're not ready for that right now. That's not where you're at with your life. And then they're the ones that are responsible for that person's actions. So
exactly.
Yeah. So if the child chooses, if the child gets drunk, can't handle the repercussions of it, the parents are on the hook for the child's actions because the parents let that happen. Yeah. But
I might even add, even potentially criminally on the line, if you let your 10-year-old drive a car drunk and it kills someone, then I would hold the parents liable for those actions.
Yeah. So the same thing would apply for me when, like, age of consent. If somebody is capable of handling the repercussions of what could happen if they get somebody pregnant or get a STD that could be life-threatening or something like that, if they're capable of handling that at the age of 13, who am I to judge, right? Like, who am I to make that line in the sand? And if they choose to do that and they can't handle those repercussions and they get somebody pregnant and they're okay, now I need to, or they are become pregnant themselves, that now is the responsibility of the parents that said that was okay or permitted that behavior from happening. So that's kind of how I view that. I think it is kind of slippery across the board, but that's my throw at it.
I mean, age of consent and all of that stuff's interesting. I mean, I think if I had to draw a line, I would say at 14, parents should be given an option to decide what additional restrictions, you know, or not their kids have, but by 18 it should be totally free and clear, like it is for age of consent and should be for alcohol.
Yeah.
And marijuana.
I hate the drawing the line on it. I hate saying like 18 is when we're mature, because I know some 12-year-olds that are more mature than I am.
Yeah, I know that that's such an arbitrary thing. I believe that it has to do with that's when the, you know, 90% confidence interval of people have achieved some semblance of puberty, and that that's like sort of the... But in my mind, my brother and I have discussed this, there really ought to be a biological marker.
Yeah, I think the brain actually stops developing at about 22, or maybe it's the skull stops forming. Yeah,
the brain, I do believe, continues to develop until 22. I've heard that before also.
Yeah. So let's move on to the next one, which we don't care at all about, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, what is it?
Social networking. Is it good or bad? I don't care.
I think that in some ways it's been a great tool to bring people together from... that you would never have been able to get back in contact with. We don't live in the world anymore of the small town. You went back and you're with 100 people you knew your whole life. So for a lot of people, I've been able to connect with pretty reasonably. But gosh, I mean, Facebook's become such a cesspool now.
I'm just going with another free market solution here. If you make a terrible social network, let people not use it.
No government social networks. How about that?
Yeah. No forced social networks.
Yeah. You will be sociable.
Yeah, and if you make a bad social network, you pay the consequences, and if you make a good one, you reap the benefit.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Next one, euthanasia and assisted suicide, which I'm pretty sure is the same thing. Maybe it's not. Anyways, for me, I think this one is pretty easy if you follow our philosophy, that your property includes your body. And therefore, you have the right to do with it as you please. So suicide should be legal. And if you were to ask somebody else to help you in killing yourself, provided that you are of sound mind, that should be legal as well. Would you agree?
I would generally agree with that. I guess I would caveat that assisted suicide should not include any compulsion to the doctor to help. If you're, you know, maybe on the in other words, the doctor should not have to help you die.
Oh, if the doctor's opposed to it, yes, because then you're compelling them.
Yeah.
Yes. So you're saying you can't use force to have assisted suicide.
Yeah, so the government can't say, well, if they ask for it, you have to give it to them.
Yep, that's good.
But it should be something that if you have a doctor, and that's your attending physician, and you've got stage 4 cancer with no hope, and you got 3 months left, and you want to go out on your terms with your family all around you with a big party and a big last splash, then that should be totally your right. And that's where people need to realize that that's what we're talking about, generally speaking. That's the person who we have in mind. You know, we're not out here going, well, we should encourage people to kill themselves. No. We're merely saying that you're 18 and over and you are a full citizen. I think that you have a right to yourself, and that includes whether or not you want to continue.
Yep, agreed. But I think it was an important point to point out that, like, You shouldn't say that assisted suicide's a right, because the moment you say that, now you mm-hmm. compel somebody to have to assist.
Absolutely.
Which is very important.
Yeah.
It's a very important distinction. Okay, how about the next one? I think this one's pretty easy for us, or it should be, and that is illegal immigration.
Super easy.
Yeah, if you can't knock this one out of the park as a libertarian, then you haven't read anything. Yeah. So Here's the basic version of it, and then there's the more advanced version of it. So the basic version of it is people have the freedom to do with their body what they want, including movement, and so they should be able to move across borders. It's that easy. Now it gets a little bit more complicated if you're talking about private property and things of that nature. It also gets really complicated if you're talking about welfare, since libertarians are not particularly of the welfare state variety. You can take that out of the equation and say, you know what, people should be able to move across borders. Now, that's not to say that we don't think borders should exist. For people to have private property, you have to have borders. It's just simply that you can have freedom of movement. Yeah?
Yeah, and I would even say that the minarchist in me says I don't even have a problem with general boundaries of collective property, right? A group of private citizens that have formed together to create a boundary is a government in my mind, right? Yeah. Of some form. And, you know, if there's a national version of that, then I'm fine with that. That's a group of property owners that all decided they wanted to have a mutual defense, right? And they want to have a mutual property line. And that's fine. However, that doesn't mean you have a right to restrict people from going onto other people's private property. And that is where I think the issue is, right? Is that, you know, you have no right to the liberties of someone else to move across borders, but you do have maybe a right to know about it, just in terms of security and this sort of thing.
Well, you have every right if it's your border, right? Like, yeah. So the very, very simple definition of government that a lot of libertarians subscribe to is the monopoly on force within a given geographical area. So that means that you have a monopoly on force to your own body and probably to your own home, which means you're the government of your own property.
Or should be. Yeah, that's our belief.
But based off of that definition, which is a really good definition of government. It's pretty solid. So if people were to band together, they should be able to say, this is our property and we don't want somebody on here. Fine, put up a guard gate. You guys pay the bill.
That's
your freedom.
You drive all the way through Las Vegas, you're going to find a million different gated communities that have done that.
Yep. Last one on the list. Okay, so when we were about to start this podcast, before the podcast even got started, we were talking about, is there things we shouldn't touch upon? Is there things we should avoid at all costs on this podcast? We said, you know what? You know what's one that we should just never talk about? Because really, there's never going to be a winner on this one. It's pretty awful, no matter, just from a philosophical point of view. That's the topic of abortion. We should never, ever talk about abortion on this podcast. So let's dive in.
A quick reminder that this is not in any way necessarily the official party position of the Libertarian Party or the Libertarian Party of Nevada. This is merely Tyus and I discussing a very difficult issue, and the platform even says that there are points made on both sides that are valid, and our official party position is a very neutral one. Yeah. So just with that quick disclaimer.
This is as hard as they come. This is the bad one of pretty much anything that could be on this list. It doesn't get much harder. So there's a lot of interesting arguments made around abortion. This is one that you're forced. That whole thing I said, I didn't like being in a spectrum on stuff. Well, there's no way to address the idea of abortion without it being on a spectrum, because nobody would contest to say, like, nobody's going to say, well, if you were to kill off your sperm before having sex, then that's not a problem. Everyone'd be okay. Everyone's all right with that. And everyone's not okay with, okay, we've had the baby, it's 3 years old, we should be able to kill it off. So everyone's going to say, nope, that's not all right to kill this person after it's born. But there's a point before it's born where everyone seems to be totally fine with that, with killing off potential life. So for another example would be a woman menstruates and her egg is lost. We don't go out and save that egg because it's a potential life. We're okay with that. So somewhere in between that spectrum is where the line has to get drawn, which makes me uncomfortable.
Yes.
Now, there's a lot of great arguments around that. So some people say, well, let's divide it up by trimesters, or another version of it is, when could the child survive on its own outside of the mother? Some people draw the line at, when does the heart start beating? There's a really great argument that I heard probably last year where they said, well, we'll kill people in a hospital if their brain stops functioning, right? So if they're a vegetable, then we're okay ending their life and taking them off life support. Well, the brain starts functioning in a person in the womb at about 4 weeks, right? So if you're drawing the same line on both ends, that's the point to draw it. But this becomes completely subjective. It's a really hard line to draw. And based off of that alone, my official answer to abortion is, you know what? It's none of my damn business. You need to make the decision in your own mind. You have to live with the choices you make. And if this is a position you're in, and I'm sorry because it's a challenging position, I give this to the local government. And by that, I mean you. If you have to make this call, it is your body. Do what you will. Now, other people have made other arguments. Like Rothbard has made the argument that a fetus is on your private property, being on your body, so you have the right to kill it if you want to. I'm not even going to entertain that. It's just the truth is, this is too hard, and I think the most involved person in there, which is you, if you're involved in that situation, you need to make that call for yourself. So that's my thought on it. What about you?
Well, another throwing the unpopular file flag right out here. I am what you might call pro-life libertarian, And that is because I am vehemently opposed to abortion. I think that it is morally wrong. But when it comes to my personal ethics, I don't think that the government should hold a gun to a woman's forehead and say, you can't. And so technically that makes me pro-choice in that I don't think that something I find despicable like an abortion. And again, no offense to anyone that's gone through it. That's just my personal opinion. But I would personally discourage any woman I know who asked me. I wouldn't like just volunteer this, but anyone who asked me, I would personally discourage them from abortion. That said, I don't believe that the government should come in there with police and dogs and all of the things that it uses to keep you under your thumb and tell you you can't. Because we know that when you criminalize anything, then the first thing that happens is it moves to the black market, it becomes unsafe, it becomes a much worse problem. And I would never want to see a war on women the way, and you might argue that we have one already, but you know, I would not want to see a war on women the way we see a war on drugs and the way we see a war on poverty, which ended up being, you know, basically get them on the take forever. And so there's all kinds of issues I have with the government being the one to decide that abortion is or is not okay and at what point it is or is not okay. That said, again, I'm very much on the 4 weeks is probably the right. In other words, there's times when it would be natural to have an abortion for the body. There's times that the mother perhaps was raped or whatever, this sort of thing. There are extenuating circumstances, certainly. But in the great majority of cases where it's one that, you know, it, I don't want to say it's inconvenient, but it's just, it's not something you want to go through, let's say. Just, I mean, that's the, right? If you're going to have an abortion, regardless of what your ultimate reasoning was, you don't want to go through with it, all right? And I totally understand that argument. I can appreciate, and I believe that that decision should rest in your hands, you, the listener that is hearing this, you know. So, but for me personally, I don't think you should do it. But again, it should be your choice to make, just like it was my choice to decide that I don't think that it's appropriate, because I believe it is a moral choice. And I talk a lot about the differences between morals and ethics. And in my mind, you have no right as a society to compel someone's personal set of morals, only their personal set of ethics. And the only valid argument I might hear still on the pro-life side is that you're killing a person who had, then that person you have it now, and that's an ethical dilemma. I don't see one there firmly until they're born, and I don't like the idea of the government deciding when it becomes an ethical issue versus a moral one. So for me, it's an easy moral no, but it is a soft ethical yes.
Well, I think the thing that you said there that to me was almost inspiring is you said, like, this is, first you put, you said, here's what I think. And if you disagree with me, I'm going to tolerate that belief, right? That's such a powerful stance to come from, because it's such a vulnerable stance to come from. And so few people are willing to say, you know what? I'm willing to stand strong on what I believe, and I'm willing to tolerate you and say you have the freedom to do what you believe you need to do.
And
it's powerful.
I appreciate that. And I guess what I'd like to say to the public policy question of abortion is we should be ending the conditions that cause abortions to be possible. That means free market, total access to birth control. That means being able to solve the societal problems that cause people to need abortions in the first place. In my mind, that is going to be a much more fruitful thing to reduce the number to zero, right? If we reduce the number enough of necessary abortions to zero, we're good, right? That means we've taken care of the rape problem.
Wait, when you were saying the, are you suggesting taking birth control off the market? What were you just saying just now?
No. I'm suggesting that removing any government intervention in
things that are preventing people from doing what they want with their,
like, for example, there are many laws in Texas and in Arizona. There are certain laws that make it more difficult to have access to birth control.
I see.
And I'm saying that those laws should absolutely be abolished, because those are going to stop this from ever happening.
Got it.
And I think that if you completely deregulated the birth control market, that there would be, it would be cheaper and it would be safer and it would be easier for women to have access to birth control, and men, by the way, which men at birth control is not on the market because the FDA is still holding up everything. So again, in my mind, there would already be birth control in everyone's hands, and so there would be no such thing as an accidental pregnancy.
Yeah, reproductive freedom would be pretty amazing if it was granted to both genders. You know, like that. Wouldn't that be incredible? Like, I know for me,
it's on its way.
It is on its way. But I, like, most of my friends have had vasectomies, and which is in many cases not reversible. Sometimes it's reversible. But geez, they're doing a lot to just be able to control their reproductive rights. And when technology made it possible for women to control their reproductive rights, it changed the world for women across the world.
Yes.
So,
and I would, it's powerful. Again, that's my idea behind abortion, is let's eliminate the problem. We don't really solve the problem by criminalizing abortion, or by trying to really to make any kind of moral argument, because I mean, that's what a predicament you might be in, to not be able to have lost control of your reproductive rights temporarily. That's the problem I have, and why I believe that we have to solve the real problem here, which is, like, I think you put it best, the reproductive rights of both the men and women involved. And if everybody had free market access to male and female birth control and could take them and control their biological processes, then I think it wouldn't matter if abortion was legal or not, because no one would be having babies they didn't want.
Well, we did it. We got through abortion, everybody.
Oh, boy.
Maybe we won't have to touch upon that one until next year again. The flop sweats are over. So that's going to do it for this episode of the podcast. Hey, if you're watching these videos, please leave a comment. We will respond. We love hearing from you. And if you haven't left us a positive review, do that, please. Go to our website, lpnevada.org. Find out how you can get involved, whether that be in being able to be a donor, essentially. Can you help us with money? Because we would love your money. We can do great things with insanely little. You'd be surprised. If you've got time, we can use that time too. We would love your help. If you just want to find out how you can get involved, or find like-minded people like yourself, come out to one of our socials. That's how I got involved, and that's how all of this started. And now I'm deep in. I'm deep. So do all of those things. Until next time, please just make it all about freedom.
This show is brought to you by the Libertarian Party of Nevada. Music is provided by T. Sims. Please support the show by subscribing, sharing it with friends, and leaving a positive review on iTunes. For more information or to learn how to get involved, visit lpnevada.org. Thank you for listening.